Blog Talk Radio.
To hit the last month of 2015, didn't think it'll ever get here. Lots of stuff has happened. Congratulations to the Atlanta Hawks first and foremost. Great victory against a really good team, the Oklahoma Thunder. And you know, after last week, this was a big win. On a couple of different tangents. One, it's against a quality opponent that no one can say, oh, they're just trash. At least Charles Barkley won't, right? Because you have Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant and Billy Donovan and all that kind of good stuff, right? But also, just for the fact of how the Hawks started the game, how they came out with energy and fire and purpose and determination and all those good words that you need to say, I want to win a game and we're not going to lose a game just because. Very commendable how the team came out. If you look at the stat line, you got Paul 26-11. You got Al 21-13. I mean, they took it upon themselves that they weren't going to get bullied, obviously. Check out the assists. Seth had 6. Paul had 5. Jeff had 5. Steals. Seth had 4. You know, Paul had 4 block shots tonight. You know, I mean, they really were. You know, Paul and Al had 5 and 4 offensive rebounds respectively. So they were really determined. Jeff, you know, had 25 tonight. Got to the hole. Did what he needed to do. Shot the 3 well. Kyle got his points when he needed to. Seth, of course, looked like he was just on lockdown mode. He wasn't really trying to score tonight. He didn't score at all, actually, tonight. So very big win for the Hawks. At Bays coming off the bench. Muscala is definitely always playing well. So it was a big deal, definitely. But all that being said, last week, there's a reason the Hawks have 8 losses, and we know part of it is this crazy, stupid schedule that the NBA put upon them. Now, here's the deal. Out of all these games that they played more games than anybody else in the NBA. The Hawks are 11-8. Would other teams have been able to pull that off? Maybe, maybe not. Golden State? Maybe, maybe not. Well, you know, it remains to be seen. This probably will never happen again, hopefully, if Coach Bud has anything to do with it, hopefully. Okay? But at the end of the day, it's a combination of those 8 losses and how these 8 losses in the month of November actually really occurred. And in a lot of cases, it was a matter of effort. Okay? We could throw injury in there if we want to, but for the most part, some of it was just plain old effort. And we hate to use that word, consistency, but we have to use it, right? So going into December, how does everyone feel about the Hawks at this point? I mean, again, from last year to this year, things were a little bit different. Not that much, but it's how they are playing is different. And we wanted to see the effort that we saw last year. Now, again, technically, Bud is still going through changes in regards to rotation. So that has a lot to do with it, okay, with Baze getting hurt when he did, and he was in the starting lineup. Now he's coming off the bench currently. So is that going to be something going into the rest of the season that we will see, or will Steph go back to the bench? We still have to get an idea of where Holiday and THJ is going to come into play. THJ has been playing a little bit now. You know, he's hit a couple of shots here and there. then you also have Splitter that has been out now for, I think, four straight games now. You know, so with him not being in the lineup, again, where is Mr. Tavares at? Why can't he get some of those minutes that Thiago would have been getting? Okay, you had five people not play tonight, two inactive, three, you know, coach's decision. In the game like this, again, now let's go to the rebounds. Rebounding wasn't that much of an issue tonight. The Hawks were on their game. They out-rebounded OKC by two. Ibaka only had five rebounds. So he wasn't, you know, dominant. Russell Westbrook, however, had nine himself. Okay. So, again, but that's what he does. So he's a triple-double. So where are the Hawks? Where are the Hawks doing? I actually haven't even read my info for tonight. Because really one of the reasons I did this show for tonight was to talk about the University of Georgia, but let's get into that later. So we have reached a moment in Atlanta sports, the state of flux, where things can either get much better or can end in disaster. With the Hawks coming off a 60-win season, expectations were high but tempered. But the way things are going, this team could get knocked out the first round. The Falcons were coming off back-to-back losing seasons, not competitive, just looking pathetic. New coach, new defense brought hope. And Coach Q has delivered. Falcons have one of the better defenses in the NFL. Fortunately, the change hasn't translated to the offense, more particularly to Matt Ryan, who has now thrown 12 interceptions this year with no end in sight. With five losses, the Falcons are on the verge of missing the playoffs again and possibly finishing under 500. The University of Georgia did something that truly nobody probably still believes is factual. Mark Richt will no longer be the head coach. Who will replace him? What will happen to the recruits that had committed? What about Ethan? We'll be talking about these subjects and more on ISN World Support by listening or calling in. That means you. Tell your friends you love Georgia sports. So call in 652-4479 as I open up the chat room. If you are shy and scared of calling in, you can go online, blogtalkradio.com/IMTMWorldwide, and get into the chat room there, and you can type your little fingers away. But don't do any drinks. Don't do any drinks. Okay? But you can go ahead and put something in there. So, let's talk about the Hawks. Now, remember, now, at the end of the day, it is an end result type of a deal. We do have several more months to go, and as long as we're winning more games than losing, that's a good thing. You know, no one that, again, expectations, could we win 60 games again? Maybe. Do we need a 19-game winning streak to be able to do that? Kind of, sort of, almost. Possibly, right? Or at least being able to win 10, lose 1, and do that all year. We could do that. So, but right now we haven't been playing like we can sustain any kind of a real winning streak. We've won one and we lose, we win and then we lose. Eventually we have to be able to get that winning streak going, right? Get consistency. Now, we're in this stretch where we're playing, you know, higher level teams than we did to start off the season, right? So maybe this particular game with the energy, you know, the defense that we played against OKC, they shot 39% for the game. You know, that's pretty good. So maybe this will be the game. But we said a couple of weeks ago, right, here and there, this will be the game that launches them off. They look so good, and then they look garbage the next night. It's been like that so far, right? But this game in particular, I think, definitely, you know, hopefully opened their own eyes that they can match up with two of the best players in the NBA current, right, on the same team, and you beat them. Now, the other part of that is other people have beat them too this year. It's not like, you know, undefeated like Golden State is or anything. That'll be a real good test, right, when they finally play them. But in the meantime, this was still a good win. You had Russell going off doing his stupid stuff and Kevin Durant and Morrow hitting his threes as usual. You know, he shot out at the end, but, you know, he kept them in the game for his 3-for-6, you know, 3-for-3. 646-652-4479, call in. And thanks to those who are listening in currently. Let me go ahead and try to post again. Well, actually, I will hold off. Doing that. Oh, what did I just do? I'm not sure. 646-652-4479. Actually, I will do this. Bear with me. As I type this little message in, let's see. And as I give a shout out to Atlanta Hawks Nation, Carlos in the game there. And see if I can get them to get this up real quick. Bear with me, folks. The other point, and I'm sorry for the dead air. I'm trying to do a lot of stuff at the same time here. Is Jeff Teague, and again, I say I hate to use that word consistency, because usually that is meaning we're referring to Jeff, right? And eventually, we've been waiting for it. Hasn't happened. That we have a stretch where Jeff is MVT. All the time. And that's what we're really needing at this point. We want to see him Russell Westbrook. There's no one ever will accuse Russell of taking a night off. There's never going to be a time where Russell is not going full steam 24/7, even when he's not playing basketball, right? So why is it like that with Jeff? So Jeff, the only person that can stop Jeff is Jeff. We said that last year. It's very evident. He could be one of the most dominating point guards in the league if he really wants to. Does he want to? We still are not seeing that, and it's disturbing when he goes up against people, when it's so obvious that no one can stop him. You know, I don't mind the floaters that he's missing. As long as he's driving and he just keeps driving, because he's going to hit more than he's going to miss, I feel. Okay? I can do it. In the position where he has to pass or pass. Yes, I feel. Right? So, what will have to happen for Jeff? And that's another thing, actually, before I say that. Tonight looked like Bud kind of got on the Hawks about their play. We could say that with the other games, but tonight it really looked like he got on their play. I'm sure he's heard something by now about his play as of late. Just vanishing. The captain of the team should not be vanishing. It's crazy, right? So, but another thing to note, Paul taking responsibility as well. He is part of the team now forever, pretty much. So it's his responsibility too to not let things get to that certain point where there's no intensity, no passion, things of that nature, right? But going back to Jeff again, what is it going to take to get him consistent? What it going to take to keep him on point and focused each and every single game? Unless he's hurt. But guess what? Injuries are a part of the game. Kobe Bryant knows all about that. Shout out to Kobe Bryant announcing his retirement, letting people know that, hey, that $25 million, y'all going to get to start using that now and build a team. And Bryant's not going to be in the NBA no more. And see, and I really was hoping that somehow or another things could work out, because him being 37, he could have easily played until he was 40. But, again, him complaining about the aches and pains and things of that nature, I guess he just felt he just didn't want to go out. He just didn't want to do it no more. Again, though, and I actually would agree with Stephen A. Smith, Mr. Buss, the Buss family, the team into the ground and didn't do anything. They could have did things. They could have, at the end of the day, told Kobe, you know what, we're not going to pay you that. We're going to do it for you to win. Why would he have argued that if that was going to be the argument of why we are not going to pay you $25 million a year? You don't need the money, okay? So I do hate that, you know, that, you know. Now, at the end of the day, of course, he might do a Jordan and be like, you know what, I changed my mind. I took a year off. I feel real good. I'm going to come back when I'm 38, 39. I'm going to play one more season with someone. Try to get that ring just on the slot, you know. So, you know, we might not have seen the last of Kobe. But until then, definitely try to take advantage. He's going to be coming to Atlanta Friday night, y'all, so definitely get your tickets early. 646-652-4479, call into the show. What are your thoughts about the Hawks' win tonight? Now, again, two other topics that we're going to be talking about. Matt Ryan. And also, Mark Rick. So, definitely get ready to talk about those subjects as well as the Hawks tonight. I'm going to go ahead and take the first break for tonight. Go ahead and call in. Again, the number is 646-652-4479. And you can also, again, on the chat line, go to blogtalkradio.com/IMTMWorldwide, and you can leave your messages there, and I will read them on the air. In the meantime, I'm going to take a little break. I will be right back. This is Chris, IMTM Worldwide Radio. This is Chris, IMTM Worldwide Radio. As we come off the break, we were listening to a track called Never Break by Chris Pritham. He is a producer. He is one-fourth of the group and company called Ill It Records. You have to check them out. Go to www.ill-it.com. He is actually a producer who's done a lot of work within the music industry, some mainline artists, and also some companies such as ESPN providing music for them. So if you are an artist out there and you're for real about trying to get yourself going, that's who you need to hit up. Chris Pritham, Ill It Records, check them out. So we're back from break, and we already have a caller, so we're going to go ahead and get them on the line. Welcome tonight, caller. Go ahead and announce yourself and where you're calling from.
Yo, what's happening? This is John out of Augusta, sir.
It is Mr. John out of the AUG. How you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, brother, it's another beautiful one, man.
Yeah, I got to give great victory tonight, but I know you actually have another subject that you want to bring up. I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself. Uh-oh, did we lose John? You still there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there you go. Go ahead and bring up this. I know there was a couple of particular subjects you wanted to speak on tonight. I'm going to go ahead and let you go with that.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, let me go ahead and get my dogs out of the way. As you may or may not know, I'm an avid Bulldogs fan, and, you know, we just made some progress. I think while I'm not necessarily excited to see Mark Richt fired, I am happy and glad. I think it was long overdue. And, you know, we definitely need some new blood. You can't take five quarters to beat a D2 school and then keep your job. I'm sorry.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, at a certain point it was just like, how can you just be so tickled to death that you got by Georgia Southern? I mean, just to see the jubilation on the field and between, you know, it was just the principle of it all at a certain point. And I had a feeling that if they actually did end up, I had a feeling that if they lost to Georgia Tech, somehow he would have kept his job. I really do. Go ahead, man.
No, pardon me, man. I'm just shocked that he still, like, I didn't think it was going to happen, to be honest. I thought he was going to charm his way back in there. He's saying all the right things. Mark Richt, do you think you're going to lose your job?
Well, listen, like when I first thought, the first I saw of it at all was that I think it was James Pouzer on Atlanta Hawks Nation. Shout out to James. And he had mentioned something to that effect. And I was like, what? Really? Because I had looked. I was like, I didn't hear anything about it. And I started, you know, checking. And yeah, there was like, he's not going to be the coach and he's going to be fired. But until it hit official, that's why I mentioned on the page. I was like, are we in the Matrix? Is this really going to happen? I mean, is this just like, you know, an addendum that, you know, an if-then statement, like from old-time, you know, programming? You know, if this happens, then he won't be. But it actually happened. So I'm, again, yeah, like you said, you don't ever want to see anyone get fired from a position or anything like that. But at the end of the day, this wasn't like it was unceremonious or anything like that. It was a decision, you know,
exactly.
And it was made, you know what I'm saying? And again, and that's why I listed, the notes from the other day, 15 years, the teams that are in the SEC West and the SEC East who have represented, you know, themselves as far as, you know, the SEC championship over the last 15 years and who has won it, how many wins, how many national championships have been equated in these 15 years, and how could we have all this talent coming from the state of Georgia and it's not happening, you know? And some of the guys, ESPN, some of the guys on 92.9 in Atlanta, shout out to them, have been mentioning the same thing. At a certain point, how can we just not have no quarterbacks? I'm just saying. I mean, like, seriously.
You mentioned that. Keep in mind, Mark Richt is a quarterback coach. Like, a lot of that, they just lost in the shuffle. Like, before Mike Bobo was hired, Mark Richt was running the offense. Mark Richt was coaching the quarterbacks. And what really pisses me off is in his parting speech. I don't know if you can find the transcript online. He talks about going on to other coaching jobs. Of course, he should. He's fired. He's free to go. He then goes on to say that I look forward to being more hands-on with quarterbacks. Now, I can think of six. Right off the top of my head, you need to be a little bit more hands-on with. The little redhead boy, Joe Cox, Hutch Mason could have used some hands-on help. And every single quarterback we have now needed some magic that you did not provide. So
wait a minute. He really said that?
Yeah, that's the thing. He says that he plans on being more hands-on with quarterbacks.
I'm offended. And if I was a Georgia alumni or a Georgia student currently, or even the guy who actually trims the hedges, I would be offended by that statement. Like, seriously, that's disturbing, man. You just know. So, and think about this. That picture of him the other day, I think it was it after the Georgia Southern wonderful victory that he flew out to Seattle to go hang out at the diner with Eason?
Right.
Like, is that what he's alluding to? Is he going to take him and go out to USC? Is that what he's alluding to? Well, no, USC actually hired their assistant coach, so he can't be going there. So wherever he might end up going, is that what he's alluding to? See, it's offensive, and maybe someone needs to go get the pickup truck. Because, I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, I ain't cool with that. That's just personal right there. That's messed up, man. Wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
And, you know, Mark is, Mark Rick is an interesting cat, man. Like, it's a funny conundrum. Because now that he's fired, of course, all the well wishes and wonderful memories and people are worried about recruits switching and changing. And you know what? Some of that is fair. True enough.
Yeah.
While we may lose out on some recruits, let's be all the way real. What was he going to do with them recruits?
Let's be honest. Man,
let's not
act
like Mark Rick has not coached down some recruits. You look at Keith Marshall, that was a 5-star running back. Don't forget that fact. And he still runs pretty good.
And then that's another point. Again, it's a matter of over these last few years, especially, how can you not keep some of this talent? Why is that dude at Clemson? Why?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? He was here. Why? You know, an hour away. An hour. He couldn't find. You know, it's disturbing. And at a certain point, then it's another thing to where, okay, well, all these guys from Georgia are going to the NFL, but they weren't developed here. That's not good to hear.
Exactly.
But at a certain point, it's a matter of, okay, again, yes, we're glad that we haven't been going 3-8 every season for the last 15 years, and that's valid, okay? Yeah, you want to have a winning program, but at a certain point, again, I mentioned this in my post the other day, how can you always be listed in the top 5, the top 10 every year at the beginning of it and then not be there at the end of it and or not even be in the mix as far as the important bowls? There's 97 bowls now. I don't want to be in the 96th bowl. That's not cool to me. You see what I'm saying? And year after year after year, you know, that's the possibility. You know, again, it's UGA. We have as much respect as a program as most teams in college football. We're in that top tier. At least we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
At least we have been. At least that's what is on the news, I guess, right? But apparently we really are not. And, again, if you go by the last 15 years from the year 2000, really should go from the year 1999 and actually look. UGA has 5 appearances, you know, in the SEC championship game. 5, okay? And they have 3 actual victories, okay, which wouldn't be that bad except for the fact of the other, you see, was that 12 years, who is getting to the SEC championship besides you out of the East? And why is that happening? You see, and that's when I just started looking at it and actually did the math, I was like, this is angering me. Because I keep seeing the other side of the spectrum, of course. You got the LSUs and Alabama and Auburn and all those guys, right? And it's like, how you know, it's like, and again, even with the talk about Les Miles might being gone, he's won a couple of national championships.
Yep.
How
he's
is
got
Rick,
one under his belt and two – to two SEC championships, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
so you
and
look at
is it?
Rick, you have to look at the conference in which he's playing in. Like,
there you go.
you know, you start looking at them accolades. Who's been bombing the East in the last 15 years? You have Florida, who had a really great run for a couple of years in the Tebow days. You had South Carolina, who had that one good year ever.
Yeah, one good year. I saw them in there. I put them in there, too. And again, the last couple of years, it's been Missouri. So it's like, so you're telling me that in the last two seasons you had people, you couldn't overcome, you know, one of those 2 years at Missouri? See,
man.
Again, it's disturbing. It's disturbing.
Yeah, if you sit back and think about it, it's really bad. With the talent that we've had, whom we are in this conference, we should be doing way better, and we have not. And it falls on him. I mean, a lot of folks like to blame the offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, which is fair. But who hired him?
Yeah. Yes.
Who brought in Martinez? Who brought in Todd Grant? Who brought in Brian Schottenheimer? Rick.
It's his fault. It's his team. And then he's responsible ultimately. And again, that's why is the nonchalant Cavalier attitude. Again, if he had won something all these years, that'd have been different. But he haven't. So how does he have that rope? How does he have that rope to hang on to all those years when you have
but
other
you
programs?
Want to answer
again?
That question?
Well, go ahead.
I don't know if
well,
this is going to be too real for the radio show, but I'll say this. I think we're both two Southern cats. We've been around for a long time, and we know in the Bible Belt, high moral standard is extremely appreciated. And I don't know if there's any coach who has a better record on morale than Mark Rick. And I think that's what he's been living on, also with the decent record. He's been winning just enough that you can't get completely mad, but you should be wanting more. And you couple that with his extremely high morality, people want to keep him around. And that's cute, and that's cool. But let me ask this. What kind of person is Nick Saban? What kind of person is Les Miles? What kind of person is Urban Meyer? What kind of person is Pete Carroll? You know what? I don't know. I have an opinion, and I don't care. They win. I don't need to know who that man is. It's no offense against him. I'm quite sure it's an extra bonus. I don't want somebody evil running my program, but I don't necessarily need you to be a high moral guy.
We don't want Mr. Burns to be running the program. That's, we don't want the dogs being let out seriously and literally. But
I'm
bring
cool
out
on Ned Flanders. She can go too.
But you do bring up the point that most people do revolve around is that he's such a good guy and he's honest and he's been running this almost perfect program, you know, and things of that nature. But, I mean, it's kind of scary. It's like, what, is he going to go somewhere else and he's going to just be off the chain? Like certain coaches that we know out there who'll be hollering at other people's wives and going to be at the bar, going to be hanging out with Johnny Football and stuff like that. You know, is it something just about UGA, the campus, that keeps a person really nice like that? I don't know. But, again, at the end of the day, you got to have some kind of a mix of you could be up but so nice. I mean, shoot. But Coach Bud, you know, he's cool and everything, but when Bud Faith comes, you better watch out, right? I've never seen Mark Rick, like, on the field. Like, I've never seen him upset about anything. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that, man.
There's been a few times when Mark Rick has gotten bent out of shape. You haven't seen him yell at some. Matter of fact, I believe it was the Georgia Tech game. Something happened. But there's a Vine video of him snatching up players and coaches and throwing them on the sideline. So,
oh, really?
You get Evil Rick every blue moon. It happens. But, by far, he's not a man to show emotion. Which, I don't know, it's just in football, that just doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
Basketball is a little bit more appreciated. I think in certain instances you have to be extra calm and, you know, but in football, I don't know. Some of the better coaches are really, really emotional. Even Nick Saban, who's pretty even Keel will snap at the drop of a dime if you come at him wrong. You know, you see
yeah.
that recent
yeah.
interview he just had. So it can happen.
Yeah,
yeah, Mark
true.
Rick is not that dude.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'm gonna let you go because I got some other callers. Who do you think they go to? Who do you think is going to be a serious candidate, and how do you think is going to affect any current recruits or future recruits over the next few months?
Gotcha. I'm not necessarily worried about recruits, man. Again, like we mentioned before, the East is weak, and if you can win the championship of the SEC, you're kind of going to the finals. So
yeah.
that alone is going to draw a lot of attention. While we may lose some that we already had in the pipeline, which is to be expected, if you've been recruited
mm-hmm.
by a certain person, they all of a sudden leave, then, of course, you're probably going to start thinking twice. But the recruits I have a problem with, we're in a great pipeline, Georgia, Florida, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as coaches, that shall be interesting. I don't know, man. I don't really trust the athletic director, to be honest with you. McGarity, who is a Florida guy, and he kind of wants to bring in the defensive coordinator to kind of have his first start. And that doesn't always work out well. Shout out to the Falcons.
Exactly.
Some head coaches out there that are interesting. Charlie Strong would be a strong hire. I think he's a moral dude who likes doing things the right way, but he hasn't had a bunch of success in Texas. So,
yeah.
You know, it'll be interesting, man. This say a lot more about this athletic director. And you also have Jeremy Pruitt. Like, that
yeah.
I have not heard enough about, and I'd be really mad if they let go of him after the job he's been doing.
Exactly. Well, it's going to be interesting, and it's just a matter of, you know, it's going to be a new direction no matter what, and I think everybody's going to have at least a sigh of relief for a while. Just to know that there's going to be some changes, and that's what we want, you know. And we can suffer through whatever the changes are, as long as whoever the new hire is going to be like a Michigan, you know, changing that program, like, you know, from what it was to now they have a real coach. You see what I'm saying? So
same thing with Florida as well.
And Florida, exactly. Florida, all of a sudden they were pretty much done, and all of a sudden, boom, they you know, it took a while for them to lose a game. You know, out of nowhere, right? So, and they're going to the SEC championship out of nowhere. But anyway, that's on those things. So, shout out again to the Hawks, everyone. Great win. And but appreciate talking about the UGA Bulldogs again. That was one of my topics for tonight, one of the ones I wanted to focus on, because again, this last few weeks of the year have been real tough on all of our Georgia sports teams. And it's just good to see a refreshing change with one of them so far. So I definitely appreciate you, John, calling from Augusta. I hope to be up there real soon. Not so much Augusta, but definitely Atlanta area. We'll have to get up one of these days, okay?
Set it up, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Calling again.
Hey, you have a good one.
That was Mr. John Sutton out of Augusta. And we're going to go ahead and bring the next caller in. They've been holding. Welcome to the show, caller. Go ahead and announce yourself and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's up, Chris? It's George from Atlanta, brother. Talked to you last week.
Hey, George. How you doing, man? Good to hear from you.
Man, this was a great win, man. Man, these boys played tonight, man. I was a... I sent a message to you on Facebook about it. I said I wasn't going to be to call in because I wanted to catch the 11 o'clock replay game, man, because I missed the first half, bro. But I said I got to call in and let my man know. These boys look good tonight.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate it, man. Yeah. Again, one of the things I mentioned earlier in the show is that tonight they showed that it looked like Bud really talked to somebody. And you could tell, you see what I'm saying. And again, if you just go by the stat line, you know, again with Paul and Al, you know, on the boards, like just dominating, not taking no stuff, and you know Jeff the whole night, you know, taking it to Russell, you know, and it's just and then just the whole team as a whole, you know, Seth doing his defensive best to try to hold everybody down, and which he did. Truth be told, and it was encouraging to see that because again, this could be what it will be the rest of the season. But again, we've had this a couple of times, but then they'll lose the next game really bad. So hopefully
yeah.
this will be the starting point, because now they're 12-8. This stupid month of playing 50 games in 2 weeks is done. and we can
that's
go
crazy.
From there. But we'll be, yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy, man. The only team that's right behind us is Golden State with the amount of games that's been played, man. I looked at Chicago. Chicago just played their 15th game tonight, bro. That is ridiculous, man. And so did Miami just played their 16th game. That is absolutely
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah,
man.
Miami,
that kind of disparity,
Miami.
Man.
Miami lost
like
tonight. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who puts this stuff together, but I'm like, and again, you have the preseason before that too, so it's just like this is a lot, you know.
Mhm. And here's what I say: I posted this here. I said I'm gonna write that one off with San Antonio as a kind of as a fluke, only because I saw Friday night and tonight. A game where we look like the 2014 Hawks. And I said, I think we're about to right the ship right now, because the biggest key tonight was Al Horford. When he showed up tonight, we looked like a totally different team. And Jeff T, I'm telling you, that dude played out his mind tonight. His eyes lit up when one guy comes at him, man. He knows he can take any guy in the league off the dribble. If you open that, he opens that lane up, man. I'm telling you, man, that dude, he plays at a totally different level. It's like once somebody show him up, it's like if somebody shows him up, comes right back.
It's what's so frustrating. It's just what's so frustrating to where we know and he knows, everybody knows, that no one in the league can stop him if he don't want to be stopped. And can he just do it for 82 doggone games? Golden State haven't lost a game, and they might not lose. I don't know. I don't really think anybody's going to beat them. Truth be told, they might really go 82-0. But the Hawks can do all of that themselves as well if Jeff T plays like Jeff Teague all the time, because that goes into the energy of the rest of the team. Because if he's out there trying to dominate, why ain't everybody else trying to dominate? It's catchy. Again, like you said, Al Horford can't be stopped if he don't really want to be either.
Exactly.
As long as he ain't taking stupid shots sometime. Now, tonight, he was 2-for-3 from the three-point line, 8-for-15 for the game, had those 13 rebounds. I think he had 2 block shots as well, 21 points. We get that, Al? It's not too many teams. Again, we won 60 games last year, him playing like that, him coming back from injury.
You know what?
And then we got
the number
going out of his mind. Yeah.
You know what the number one rated game was last year was the Hawks against Golden State. That was ranked number one. And that just goes to show you, when you got teams like that's playing like that at a high level on both, those are exciting. It's not exciting to me to have Cleveland where LeBron James sits out there and dribble the ball for about 14, 15 seconds and go one-on-one. I love to see team basketball, the way Golden State plays and the way we play basketball. And that's telling you, they don't want to see us because of the ratings and stuff like that. But when you go and watch if you watch that team last year that played Golden State here, I was at that game, man. That I guarantee you, man, the last 5 minutes of that game was nobody was sitting down. Nobody. Me included.
This is the excitement again of the team and what it meant to the city and things of that nature, and how they were in the spotlight for the first time in a long time. Even though, we've been in the playoffs however many years it is in the East consecutively, okay, cool, whatever. But that was a hallmark game really for the franchise in that particular instance during the regular season. And again, my little thing was bombing out on Cleveland after being swept last year just didn't help the cause at all. And again, I know we got injuries. I know they're tired up to a point, but again, that's everybody in the league to an extent too. So we can't keep using that. You know, again, where was Jeff? Where was Al? That wasn't the game for them to kind of take a nap. And I was upset about that. And I'm like, again, you see a game like tonight, and it's like it's apples and oranges. And again, San Antonio got beat by the Bulls tonight. Why can't we beat San Antonio? I'm like, that's not cool to me right now to see that on the scoreboard right now.
That's what ticked me off.
That's what ticked me off, man. They blew us out by 20. It really was worse than 20, but they beat us that bad. And then you got the Bulls, who I know we can beat. I mean,
yeah.
Bulls ain't nowhere near as good as San Antonio. And you look at the potential of what we got. You know how we can play, and you don't get it every night. And now it's like, okay, let's start doing this thing, boys. I give you a pass because of all these games, but after that, I can't do it no more. Because bottom line is, we have the potential to do the same thing we did last year. We 12-8, bro. We got 20 games, and I'm looking at a pretty decent schedule right now. We got Toronto, which we definitely can beat, and we got the Lakers on Friday, and I'm gonna be down there. I was gonna go to the Lakers game, but I mean, I'm a season ticket holder. But man, I said, you know what? Soon as Kobe Bryant announced that he was leaving, I said, you know what? I can stay at home and watch that one. And I just, man, my ticket sold today. I just put it up.
$200. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh wow. I'm thinking about maybe trying. I'm not sure yet. Right now, Cleveland's number one in the East. Indiana's number two. Chicago's number three. Miami's four. Toronto's five. And then Atlanta is at six. Charlotte's right behind them at seven. You got Boston right now in the eighth spot. Orlando, Detroit, New York, Washington, Milwaukee, who is surprisingly playing horrible. Of course, the Brooklyn Nets and the best, worst team in the NBA ever of all time, the Philadelphia 76ers at 0-18. Again, it's the first month of the season out the way. There's going to be some parity. Pretty much all these teams are like a game out of each other. You know,
exactly.
A win streak changes things. Now, right now, Indiana has a 5-game win streak. That's how they're in second right now. Paul George is back, and back with authority. So, you know.
And another thing I put on there is the only team that's really kind of impressed me in the East right now is Indiana. Cleveland has not impressed me. They barely beat Charlotte. They barely beat Brooklyn. I mean, teams that we've already beaten, you know. But the thing about it is they're not impressing me as far as, you know, they're not dominating like people thought they were. And that's the thing about it. And they're already crowning these guys as the Eastern Conference champs. And that right there, we should go out there with that chip on our shoulder, you know, because another thing I said was this. Chappell did not score a point tonight, but he was an impact player tonight. And the reason is because of his defense. And you cannot tell me that he wouldn't have made a difference in that playoff series last year against Cleveland. The dude is long, man. He checked Durant all night, man. And he gave him everything he had.
He would have made a difference, and again, that's where it's like just so much regret that just how circumstances ended up with the incident in NYC and whatnot, and why, you know, going into this year, however they figure out how they want to do it, whether or not Seth starts or comes off the bench and Bay starts or comes off the bench, they need to go ahead and get that junk set up, you know, because he's going to be important. You know, he can play, and we all know he can play. He's a stat filler. But
yeah,
I just want to see Teague. It really comes down to Jeff Teague for me. And is he going to take these next 10 years of his career to try to win a ring when they're in a position to do so? The money is there. The team is there. The fans are there. Everybody is there. Is he going to take it serious and say this is the best opportunity, especially in the East as it is, to go after whoever needs to be knocked out to get a ring? They were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. That has to be the goal at least for this year, to return and to finish the job and then figure out how to beat Golden State. I don't know. Again, he literally could really go 8-2-0 right now. I'm kind of starting to get worried about this.
They're playing on a whole nother level, man. I mean, they are really scary, man. You got that many shooters, and they doing it on a consistent basis. I'm just hoping that they slow down. You know, somebody just put that L in that column. I hope
I just don't see no slump in them. I mean, it's just because they don't even have to hit all their shots to even win, because they can also play defense. So that's the other part of their game, is that they're just like us. They can play both sides.
You hear the scores, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's getting interesting. They're about one. But, hey, man, I appreciate you taking my call, man. I'm watch this. I had class tonight, so I didn't get a chance to see the first half, bro. But
You in Atlanta,
ahead,
man.
David.
Hey, bro. We gotta hang out, bro.
All right. I'll be, like I guess, I believe I'm going to be up there this weekend sometime or another, but I know I'll be up there a couple of times before the end of the month. So I definitely will let y'all know on the page and be up there to visit y'all. So I'll be in touch. Thanks for calling in.
All right, bro. Good talk to you, brother.
All right. You too.
Later.
That was our man, Mr. George, there from, again, the Atlanta Hawks Nation fan page. Appreciate all y'all checking out the show and listening in, giving your thoughts and feelings in regards to our Georgia teams. John was talking about UGA earlier, and, of course, George right there talking about our Hawks who won tonight, 106-100. Let me go ahead and go through the scores. Excuse me, I should have got me some water before I started the show. Let's see here. The Pistons beat on Houston 116-105, had the Heat lose to the Celtics. The Bulls, I just mentioned, beat San Antonio by a few points. The Nuggets got blown out by the Milwaukee Bucks, 92-74. Currently, the Utah Jazz are trying their darndest. Golden State is up 104-103 in the fourth quarter. Actually, I guess someone just hit a free throw, so it was 105-103. Utah's trying to beat Golden State in Utah, okay? Halftime, Kings and Dallas are going at it. They're 58-54. Dallas is winning, and Portland Clippers are in the second quarter. That game is pretty much even. So that's the scoreboard thus far. And I've already, like I said, mentioned the Eastern Conference, how it stands right now. Teams that some people thought were going to do something, like Charles Barkley thought Washington Wizards were going to win it all. They're 6-8 right now. And, of course, New York Knicks were going to win the championship. They're 8-10. But they are a better team than last year, for sure. Detroit is right at 599. Orlando is 9-8. They're a better team. And then, of course, you got Charlotte and Boston under us right now. But a couple of win streaks get us back up there to that number two spot, and eventually we can hopefully catch up to Cleveland and knock them out that first spot. Going to go ahead and take a break, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Atlanta Falcons. We haven't gotten to them yet. I'm not going to leave them out, so I'm going to talk about them next. Again, this is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. We will be right back. Hey everyone, this is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. We are back on a victorious night of Atlanta Hawks basketball. FYI, the Golden State Warriors figured out a way once again to win. They won 106-103 in Utah. So they are still undefeated and going straight to 82-0. The Atlanta Falcons. This weekend was painful on the basis of another I don't even know what to call it, another game where having a top flight offense statistically still can't get it done. So now is that you have to be in panic mode. You have five losses now, where not too long ago you were undefeated. And so now with the fact that you have these five losses and with the rest of the NFC as it is, at this point, can you even make the playoffs? Again, the whole goal of going into a season is making the playoffs and having a chance to win the Super Bowl. You do that every season, right? Even when you're rebuilding, you're trying to win, right? Tampa Bay is doing it. Why can't the Falcons, right? Right now, Carolina is looking like they're just going to try to win it all at this point and hopefully not embarrass nobody when they finally do come to the Georgia Dome, which is looking pretty empty, folks, by the way, FYI. Call in 646-652-4479 if you're going to the next game. But Matt Ryan is an issue. And I don't know exactly what to do. What coaches are going to do to change whatever is going on. He claims he's not hurt. So mentally, why is he just all of a sudden just dissipating into, I don't know. I can't even think of another quarterback. Well, Eli Manning. I don't know. He's our own version of Eli Manning, just throwing interceptions left and right. But the thing of it is, of course, Eli has two Super Bowl rings. Matt doesn't have any. Matt doesn't have an NFC championship ring, you know. So it's a problem where, you know, again, he's the one we rely on. We have no backups. You know, it has to be him. And if he continues making these mistakes, why are we going to keep putting him out there if he's this, you know, mistake-prone at this point? Okay? Yes, Freeman didn't play. Yes, we still don't have Hester. But you still have receivers that can catch the ball. And, again, proved it again Sunday. They can catch the ball if you throw it to them. Right, can catch the ball if you throw it to them. I hate these announcers on Fox talking about Roddy being more of a factor and all this kind of stuff. Throw him the ball. Can't do nothing if he's never thrown the ball. First couple of games of the season, you threw him the ball and he's getting 100 yards and all this. It's ridiculous to me. The whole season, he's keyed up on throwing it to Julio 15, 20 times a game. We have Hardy, who could have been getting the ball. We have that one dude, I can't remember his name, the one quick white dude that we got. Get him the ball. Yeah, we don't really have, you know, tight ends other than Tammy. Goodness, it's not cool anymore. It really isn't. And then getting into the red zone. Now, here's the thing about the red zone. When we know issues about throwing the ball in the red zone, why can't we throw a screen? What about that? How about a draw? I don't know. The Statue of Liberty play. I don't care anymore. No one throw into the end zone at all at this point. Because it's not working out. How many two interception games? 11 games. Okay. We have 5 games to literally have a shot at making the playoffs. We got to win 4 of these games. We really do. But I hate to say it, but that's what it comes down to now. Because if not, shoot, you might have to be to make the playoffs. 652-4479, talking Falcons football currently, probably the rest of the show. What is really going on with Matt Ryan? Because again, this is what makes it so frustrating for a lot of fans is that it's not the defense this time around.
We've always been able to put it on the defense because we've had a horrible defense for like three decades somehow, playing zone defense. How do we keep playing zone defense with new coordinators every year still? It's just amazing to me. But this year, we actually can stop people. This year, people recognize that we can stop people until Sunday. AP just ran over us. It was horrible. And he was catching passes. It was horrible to see. I guess that was bound to happen. But here again, that wouldn't have been an issue if we had been scoring. You know what I'm saying? We actually had a good running game. Freeman was not there, but we still ran the ball effectively enough to do something, and we couldn't finish. We couldn't finish drives. You know, it's all on Matt. And all these press conferences, he has to get better. I have to get better. And, you know, I know it's on me and all this responsibility crap. I'm like, but do it. Because, again, it's a matter of somebody got to go. If it ain't going to be Matt, he got to be the offensive coordinator. Dan ain't going nowhere. You see what I'm saying? And, again, if it wasn't for Dan, we'd probably be, shoot, we might not have won the game at this point. The other thing I want to mention about the Falcons is our lack of a pass rush. Now, for once, it actually looked like there was a little bit of pressure. Just a little bit. Vic Beasley, just a little bit more. Next year, I'm hoping that, you know, again, I don't want to see, like, the guy from South Carolina a year ago. He's supposed to be the number one draft pick and all this kind of crap, and he ain't did nothing. I don't want that to be Vic. Hopefully this first year is just him getting his feet wet, and next year he's going to be the man. Because otherwise, we could have got us somebody else for all this. Seriously. We could have got us a tight end. That's what we really need. Okay? That might – and again, if it's just that, why couldn't we go out and do something about that? Why haven't we drafted – why didn't we draft someone to replace Tony Gonzalez 3 years ago when we knew he was going to end up retiring last year? Why didn't you have his heir apparent ready to go instead of just kind of scraping the barrel, the bottom of the barrel? Now, Tammy is actually effective, though. That's the crazy thing about it. And you don't throw him the ball enough like you need to. It's just, like I said, it's very frustrating to see a defense that we finally actually have and waste it because of nonsense. Now, here's the deal. Next week, Freeman should be back. Next week, I think Hester still can't play for another week after next week, I believe, from what I heard. Whether or not we get Hankerson back, not sure. Okay. But, again, you have Hardy, you got Roddy, you got Julio. That should be enough, and it's not, and that's scary. What else can we do to win games? Okay. And eventually that has to be, you know, mapped out. And, I just don't – let's go ahead and pull up the NFL schedule real quick. Just kind of see what we're looking at here. Because, again, I want to see this team do more. I don't want to see them just kind of get by. We did that for 2 years, and it was the worst 2 years ever after the success we had before me. Right? So let's see. Schedule. League schedule, regular season. Let's see what we got here. All right, isn't it? All right, so how do you go to the next week? Oh, here we go. All right, what week are we in, folks? This is where my co-host is supposed to sign in. All right, 646-652-4479. As I try to remove it through the NFL schedules here, I believe. This is it, or did I go ahead? No, I think this is correct. December 6th? Yeah, that's correct. So, yeah, we have Tampa Bay, and we're going to be on the road. So maybe that'll be a release to get out the zone where we're not in and go and, you know, try to beat Tampa. Okay. Game after that, we have, let's and I apologize for the website being very slow.
Excuse me. Next week after that, we have looking, the Panthers at the Panthers. So we got two back-to-back games, wow, and they're both division games, of course. So we have Tampa Bay and then the Panthers. So it's a 6-5, but we split that. That puts us at 7-6. I just don't see it. Again, I think we can't lose more games in these last five. And technically, Carolina, Travis Scott, just to make sure that tiebreakers from the other conferences and divisions don't bother us. So I believe the games.
I think we gotta end up 10-6 on that.
I don't know how they're gonna do it. No.
Yeah, 10-6. You know, losing one game. But really, they need to win out and go 11-5 to make sure. Because again, if you can't win the division at this point, I don't think. But that's not gonna get you in. We were talking about the wild card right now. I mean, wild card. They're going 5-0, and I know a lot of people are going off of that, but I'm just looking at the fact that the defense has kept them in all these games. Defense has played over and above the call of duty to not be able to score 24 points a game with the offense that the Atlanta Falcons do have. They can't be stopped on receiver. I'm tired from the play calling from the offensive coordinator. You can't get it right. Going to run it, you're going to throw it. You throw it when you should run it, and you run it when you should throw it. It's stupid. At this point, it's unnerving to me. And I don't know if that is getting on Matt's nerves, too. Maybe he's just being indecisive because they can't get it right, or he's not being given control to be able to change stuff. I don't know, but I know one thing. Without a whole lot of help last year, he threw for 4,000 yards last year, and he might not do that this year. That's crazy. Julio having the year he's having by himself, literally. You see what I'm saying? So again, that's someone saying that you can't throw it to Roddy. That's not cool to me. You gotta ignore. You can't throw it to nobody else. 646-652-4479. So I wish somebody would give somebody an indication of the why and quit giving all these lame duck excuses, or just go out there and perform. To beat Tampa, you're going to have to stop Doug and you're going to have to stop Jameis. Can they do that? Are you going to let Jameis sit back there in the pocket and throw the ball? Because he can do it. He's proven it as a rookie. He can throw it anybody he wants to. He has the receivers to do it. Tampa Bay can beat us next week. You see what I'm saying? And then, again, Carolina, I don't know what they're going to do against them, but they can stop the run. And then it's a matter of, will they be able to stop us? Now, yes, they got the best cornerback in football. They got a great linebacker. They got defensive line. They got all the tools. Are we going to buck up and actually have the best game of the season that day and then go from there? Again, somehow or another, they got to do it. They can't just let this season go like that. Even though this is Quinn's first year, there was no expectations, literally. A lot of people figure 8-8. But goodness, you start off 5-0 to end up 8-8 after starting off 5-0, that's not great. That's not great at all. Okay. So 646-652-4479. Those are my thoughts in regards to the Falcons. Feel free to call in. Thanks for all those that are listening as well. Another thing about the Falcons, of course, again, Hester has been hurt pretty much the whole year. Hasn't been able to be not allowed to play as of yet. Again, he can be hurt a little bit, but not too much. We can't get nothing done in offense. We don't believe that. You know, now, again, if all we come back, and Matt is still throwing interceptions left and right, and that definitely is a problem with Matt, right? Not all these right. And that's what's scary about it. And I don't know if it can be fixed. If we make it, you know, 646-653-4470. So, it's heartening to continue to see, injury, not hurt, but it got something. Nobody's loving. And that's what makes fans angry. You know, we want to be competitive. We don't want to have a laughing stock in. We had enough of that. 6-7 straight series of winning, and then the tank. So we don't want to lose on that comment. You know, the top. You know, pressure on the quarterback. He's got to make the pancakes and what else? And then throwing the ball. And that quarterback is back there and take the ball. And back out for that. And Wayne Gaffron. That five. Again, that's been the thing that held us back, because we would get gashed. We know we can't stop nobody passing the ball, because we only have one quarterback, cornerback. Why can't we cut Alford? Please, somebody, anybody, can't we cut him? I don't care about the rookies getting burned. I'm tired of seeing the same person get burned. The rookies will eventually get into it, because that's how it happens with rookie cornerbacks. They get burned, and then they become the best cornerbacks of all time. But apparently, Alford didn't get that memo. Got to get rid of him. He's horrible. He's bad. Why is he there? I don't understand it. Again, there got to be somebody on the practice squad. I'm sorry. Find somebody on the street. I'll play cornerback for a week. Come on. I'm tall. I can knock the ball down. I can do it. I used to do it. I'm old, but I can do it. 646-652-4479. I'm going to take one more break and check. And see if I'm going to have anybody in the chat room. I hadn't checked it. I'm going to check that. And I'm going to come right back. There's a little bit of the Atlanta break. Talk to you about this night.
listeners, IMTM Worldwide Radio. We are back for the last segment of the show tonight. Just saw that the Baltimore Ravens got a win against the Cleveland Browns, 33-27, last second touchdown, off of a blocked field goal. That still happens, people. That's horrible. So I'm going to close out the show with a few things. One, the Atlanta Braves continue to sign pitchers. I don't know for what reason at this point, because I guess we don't have position players that play on the team. I guess all the pitchers are going to play first, second, third, fourth. Well, there are no fourth base. First, second, third base, catcher, left field, right field, and center field. Apparently, that's what's going to happen. I don't know. Just strange people. And driving by the stadium the other day, I was in Atlanta last month, and I happened to be driving by the stadium and didn't even know I was in that area until I recognized this big old huge monstrosity of a building. And driving by SunTrust, and I'm like, man, it's going to be real messed up to waste this nice stadium with a bummy team for decades, maybe. I don't know, because we can't get right. Because apparently nobody cares. I know what the general manager supposedly is doing, but just comparing just how other organizations have been run again and what we used to have with the Braves, I just don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I really don't. There's different ways they could have did this tear down and rebuild, and I think they're not doing it right. And I think we're going to miss out. You know, I really do. So that's just my thought about the Braves. Again, this was a show I was talking Georgia teams. Of course, again, shout out to the Atlanta Hawks winning today. Great win against a really excellent team at the end of the day at home, which we definitely needed a home win. Very encouraging. So now that we've gotten that, probably the worst schedule I've ever seen in NBA season to start the year is over with. Maybe we can get some normality again. Maybe we can look like we have fresh legs and get consistent. Again, we need a win streak at this point. This is about the time last year that first win streak occurred. So maybe things are panning out to that point. Jeff looks like he's on his game. Al looked like he's back. Of course, Paul Millsap is killing people right now. He's in the zone, you know. Of course, you have the bench. Bench play, you know, okay tonight. And, of course, everybody's looking for Tavares to get some minutes in to help out. And I'm just hoping he gets that chance. Of course, you got, you know, Moose doing his thing. But I don't think it just can be him. And I think it's time to give Tiago's minutes to Edie and see what happens. What's the worst that can happen? Again, what is the worst that can happen? If he plays bad, you can take him out. But in the meantime, let him in there, because he'll never play well if you never let him play at all. That's just like with anybody. Kobe Bryant wasn't the greatest rookie in the world, folks. This is his last season. Okay? There's going to be mistakes that are going to be made. He's not going to be in the right place all the time. He's going to get dunked on sometime. But eventually, all of a sudden, he's not a project. It's like the Latvian Dirk over in New York. He ain't a project. Boy can play. You see what I'm saying? The boy in Utah who's tall, he can play. You see what I'm saying? These people can play out there if you let them play. If you never let them play, we'll never know. 646-652-4479. On that note, I think I'm going to go ahead and end the show, because my voice it's been going out on me all night long for some reason, so I'm going to go ahead and get that fixed. But again, the Atlanta Falcons in trouble. The Hawks, hopefully this will be the game. But again, we will have to see. They've had some good games, and then they lose. So hopefully we'll get a second consecutive effort like this, and then we'll go from there. But right now the Hawks have been scuffling, you know, a little bit of injury, a little bit of tired legs, okay? But again, we just haven't seen that Hawks effort up till now that we got used to last year and got spoiled maybe. But again, we had Coach of the Year, 4 All-Stars, right? Eastern Conference Finals. We have that team. It's there, you know, and I think it's better. It's deeper. So we'll see if that's going to come about in 4 minutes. It will be, let's see, is it December 1st? Let's see. calendar, people. Yep, December 1st. So in 4 minutes, it will be a new month. So let's see if that new month changes things for the Hawks. As far as Falcons, playing Tampa Bay, it's a must-win. Hate to say that there's must-win. You know, Carolina's already clinched the playoffs. So it's not never too early. And you have other teams that, you know, behind you. You have to start winning these games now. You can't afford to lose another game. You have Tampa and you have Carolina, both divisional games too. So you got to win these games, I feel. UVA, we're going to have a new coach. Hopefully, we'll be a coach for the better. Hopefully, we don't go through another decade, you know, decade plus of what we just had, just kind of borderline mediocrity, but we win. And, of course, the Atlanta Braves, like I said, drafting pitchers like it's, you know, like hotcakes. The cliche is in syrup and peaches. I don't know. Georgia. We'll see what the Braves do. So on that note, again, congratulations to the Hawks. I'm losing my voice, folks. I'm sorry. Great win against OKC, 106-100. And Jeff Teague, Paul Millsap, Al Horford, the core of the group, dominated. They did their thing. Seth helped out a lot on that defensive end. 9 for 18. And it's a victory. And it was a good victory. The crowd loved it. Jeezy performed, I guess. I didn't watch that. no comment. Let me stop before I get in trouble. Be looking out for a couple of guests, hopefully in the near future. I'm excited about that. We'll find out soon. As soon as I know for sure, I will announce. Stay tuned for that. Of course, visit my website, www.imtmworldwide.com, and innovativeenterprises.com. You can call my business line, 305-204-1826, if you need anything entertainment and business. Make sure you give me a call. There's a lot going on. If you need help, you can get it. Make sure you have a budget. We can do business. On that note, this is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Y'all take care.